Amen. Thank you, Miss Bell. Love is the blood stains on two wooden beams. What a great song. What a great reminder as we approach Easter and the Lord's Supper in a couple weeks. A reminder as we partake of that meal here, the body represented by the bread, the blood, and the cup. Reminder that life is in the blood. That's what the Bible teaches. And when that blood is separated from the body, that's when death occurs. And that's what He did for you and for me when He died on that tree. Praise the Lord tonight. The wages of sin is death. He's borne it all. You and I don't have to drink any of that cup. He's taken everything for you and for me so that we can be saved. We should rejoice in that. I'm in the book of Jude, if you want to turn with me. We were in the second book of the Bible this morning, and now we're in the second to the last book of the Bible tonight. So Jude's epistle, and we're in the last two verses, if you'll be turning there in a moment. I'll read these two. It's Jude's doxology and something that you and I should be praising the Lord about and singing about as we contend for the faith. You know, we declare to the world these truths. We're not ashamed of the faith. We speak with confidence, and we should be certain about the ultimate end for our lives, knowing where we're going to arrive on His shore at His throne. And there's a reason why you and I should be confident. Now listen, if you're going to contend for the faith, you got to know what you believe and why you believe it and be certain of it. And praising the Lord, one of the reasons we lift up our voices in song is because we are certain of it. We are assured of it. And Jude's going to highlight that for us. And while we, as we sing, one of the things that we should be celebrating is the good work that God is doing, the good person that He is, and the praises that we offer up to Him because of who He is and what He's doing. I love the book of Proverbs and reading through them. And I recommend that's a healthy daily exercise for you. Over in chapter 28, verse 1, it says that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Why are they so bold? What is it that instills that boldness in the righteous ones? Well, even in the face of danger, when we're around a culture that maybe despises our faith, they do. They don't appreciate it. You realize that today. I don't know if you're aware of it. Even some of the Canadian pastors are recognizing a new Canadian bill that's been put through the legislature there. Is going to seriously attempt to silence believers, and that's on our shores here in North America, just over the border. You say, well, that'll never happen here. Beloved, it could happen here tomorrow, right? Be aware of that. But even if it does, why are the righteous so bold? I think of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Why were they so bold? Why was Daniel so bold and so willing to do even what was prohibited, to pray to His God, to our God? Why is it that you live with that when all the world view around you has no room for our God? Well, it's good to have a clear conscience. That'll help you to be bold, amen? To know that your life is right with God, you don't have anything to worry about, and so you boldly can speak and proclaim the truth. And it's time for the church, frankly, to stop worrying about political correctness and be bold and take a stand and be firm. And when you know you're standing on the truth, you can be bold, right? Because you know that there's no other way to persuade me. There's no other way I can turn. I've found the truth. The truth has found me. I didn't create the truth, but I believe it. You know, a lot of people, they have these bumper stickers and these, God said it and that's the truth, right? And I believe it. Well, it doesn't matter whether you and I believe it or not. It's, well, God said it. That's all that matters. It's true. And we stand there and we proclaim it. And if you doubt God, you waver about what He said, you're not certain about His truth, then you won't have that confidence to speak. You won't have that holy boldness that you need to engage a world around you. But when you understand what this book is, what you hold in your hands tonight, when you understand, listen, this is just like the tablets of stone that Moses brought down off the mountain. Think about that for a moment. Just imagine, looks like two stones right here. I got one and two, right, as I bring this down. Beloved, Peter would say, when we teach, when we preach this right here, we should speak as though we've got the oracles of God. God has spoken that way. This book is alive. It is our source of truth. It is the ultimate authority because the lawgiver has spoken. Just as Moses brought the word down to a people, this is the word we bring to the world around us. We've received it, and because we are confident and we know what this book is and the God who has spoken it, we can boldly go and contend for the faith. Now, I know there are some who waver in their faith. Sometimes they just need assurance. They need encouragement. And sometimes it's because we don't have a right understanding of the nature of our God or the nature of salvation and how we're saved. Did we save ourselves or did God save us? No, beloved, praise the Lord. We're not holding on to Him. He's holding on to us tonight. And when you're confident and assured of that, you know, listen, if He's holding on to me, anything that happens in my life, praise the Lord, it's filtered through His fingertips. It can't get to me unless He says, okay, I'll allow this. Sometimes I have to remind myself of what Job went through. You read over there in the first couple chapters of Job. Job didn't have a clue what was going on. That behind the scenes, there was this cosmic battle going on between Satan and God and a little warfare going on between them two and something that Satan was wanting to do and sifting Job. And God allowed that for a period of time, but only to such an extent that God said, you can only go this far and no more. A reminder, our God is always in control. Some waver, you know, because of the circumstances they go through. There's a lot of storms in life cause you to waver in your faith. That's why we have to daily be encouraged by fellow brothers and sisters. As we all are contending for the faith, you're warriors, okay? Now, you may be a private first class. Some of y'all are specialists. Some of y'all are staff sergeants, maybe some officers. Listen, we're all of different rank, but listen, beloved, we're all in this war together, okay? And we need to all be on the battle front, not back in the rear with the gear, okay? On the battle front, engaging the enemy. All of us online, finding your place. You know, when I was in the military, we had to make sure that we had interlocking fields of fire. What did that mean? Well, when you created your battle position, you oriented your aim and your target in this direction and your foxhole, and someone over here oriented their aim in their direction to fire in that direction, and those fields of fire interlocked, and it ensured the security for everyone in the around the perimeter. And that's what we all need to know. This is where I'm firing. This is how God has gifted me. This is how I'm to engage the enemy that's out there as we contend for the faith. And just do your part and do it well and do it faithfully. And beloved, God will assure us of the victory. But I need to know my foxhole buddy's got my back, right? And I need to be there to encourage them. That's why you come to worship. That's why you're part of a Sunday school class. That's why you're growing and serving and ministering together. So that if you stumble, if you fall, man, praise God, we get someone's there to pick you right back up and keep going. This contention that we have, contending for the faith, we have to all be engaged in it. And when someone needs assurance and encouragement, that's the responsibility we have one to another. And we need to do that. Well, Jude's going to speak to us here and give us a song to sing and a reason to celebrate as he closes with this doxology. And of course, it focuses on who God is. It focuses on what God has done and the power He possesses. And beloved, that's going to sustain us each and every day. As you contend for the faith, you can be confident in the salvation that God has brought, confident in the one who brings that salvation, and you can share that with any and everyone tonight. So listen in this doxology. That's praise. He's offering up praise to God. By the way, sometimes someone has said, right, praise dispels the darkness. When you're lifting God up and glorifying Him, the devil don't want to be around that. So lift up your praises. Celebrate who He is. Sing about it and share it and show it to others. Listen to what Jude says as he concludes. Glory be to God, right? Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Father in heaven, speak to us tonight. Give us every reason to praise You. Lord, may we be confident in our faith, knowing who we have believed in. May we be confident in the work that You have begun in us. May we be assured that You will complete that work and that, Father, it's Your desire that other people surrender and yield to You and You begin that work in their lives too. Father, we recognize you are the ultimate. Lord, there is no one higher than you. And Father, may we realize as we serve you that ultimately you have assured us victory. And that, Father, we can go forward with such confidence, contending for the faith. We love you, and we praise you, and we ask now, speak to us, Spirit of God, through your word. In Jesus' name we all pray, amen and amen. So Jude is concluding his little epistle, and it's always important to remember why he wrote this letter. He was going to encourage the church. We got a wonderful salvation. Just as Bell just sang, we've got a Savior who has loved us and bled and died for us. And he has assured us of our salvation. Praise God, we're saved today. We don't have to wonder, well, I might be saved. I feel like I'm saved. No. I know I'm saved. I'm confident of this thing, that I have repented of my sins and placed my faith and trust in Christ. And because my faith rests in him, my salvation is secure in him. He has saved me. To know that, listen, my sins, when he bled on that tree, he buried those sins in the grave. And beloved, we're not to dig them back up and bring them around. Or as the psalmist says, they're separated from us. As far as the east is from the west, they're put in the depths of the deepest part of the ocean. And God never dredges them up. Praise God tonight. I don't have to worry about that. When Jesus drank that cup in the Garden of Gethsemane, when three times he prayed, Father, if this cup can pass from me, may it be, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. That cup was the wrath of God that he drank for you and for me. And so when he bled and died on that cross, he took everything. Beloved, we don't have to fear the wrath of God. Church, we're not appointed for wrath. We're appointed for salvation, Paul would tell the church. Praise God, when I go home tonight, I'm going to lay down tonight and rest. And I'm going to lay my head on my pillow, and I don't have to fear what happens in the morning, whether I wake up or not here on this earth. Because I have this sweet assurance that my Savior is the one who's watching over me. As I slumber, as I sleep, he never does. And if I awake, it'll be either here on this earth or there in his presence. You see, I have this confidence because I have built my life on the Word of God and the Word that became flesh. And I'm resting in him and trusting in him. And it's that faith that we share together. Listen, that's reason for rejoicing. It's reason. It's a wonderful salvation. And yet Jude says, I wanted to write to you and talk more about that salvation, but something else happened. A challenge has presented itself, and there's a warning that has to be given, and that warning is that faith that we so cherish, that faith that gives us a peace at night when we lie our heads down, that faith that encourages in the midst of the storm, there's those who want to destroy that faith, and they've crept into the church, and now we have to contend with them. The way you contend is being confident as you celebrate your faith, that faith has been delivered once for all to the saints. Beloved, it's never going to change. It's always consistent. And so as Jude wanted to write about that, he's written about that, giving all the warnings about the false teachers that will creep in, the type of characters that they are, the type of people that they are, the things that they want to do. He's going to conclude now, and he concludes with praise. Now, what is he praising? Notice this first. First, he praises God's power. Now, to him who is able... Able to do what? To keep you from stumbling. Now, what's fascinating when he says to keep you from stumbling is he had already mentioned those that needed to be pulled from the fire, those who needed to be have mercy on and have compassion on, maybe some who had stumbled in the faith and the responsibility that we had. But beloved, know this. We don't hold on to God. He holds on to us. He has saved us. He has redeemed us. He is the one who sustains our salvation each and every day. That's why he has given us his Holy Spirit to sustain you and sustain me. Listen, if you're going through your walk of faith and you're saying, Pastor, I just feel it's a drudgery and I'm feeling weary. Are you resting in your strength or in God's? Because God gives us power. And the amazing thing about God's power is it's omnipotent. It's not limited in any way. He can dispense it to all of us. And how does he dispense it? Well, the power of God abides in you and abides in me. God's power dwells right here, his Holy Spirit. Now stop and think about this. That spirit, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, that spirit is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all you ask or even think. That power within us. I mean, I think of tempting great things and doing great things. Beloved, the Spirit of God enables us to do far more than we even realize. Sometimes when you have no strength, that's when you really realize the power of God at work within you. Not trusting in your own abilities, your own self, but trusting in Him. And frankly, sometimes you say, well, I'm at the end of my rope. Good, you're right where God wants you. You know why? He is the one that manifests His power in those moments and shows, listen, you're not able, but He is. And you call on Him, you trust Him, and He delivers. He's the one who is able to keep us, to protect us, to preserve us. He's the one who guards our souls. He preserves our souls. And so we simply are required to abide in Him. And as His word abides in us, it gives us fuel. It gives us a reminder that our dependence upon Him and the surety of our strength rests in Him. And so we can find sure footing and we can stand confident knowing the one we have believed in, that He holds us and all the power that we need is in us. I'm reminded so many times of a psalm over there, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Beloved, listen, if you do stumble, the righteous fall down 7 times. But the proverb says what? The wise man says they do what? They get back up. We keep going. Why? Because, beloved, we are marching to a throne and we're going to get there. And the one who began that work in you and in me, praise God, He is faithful to complete it. How do I know that? Because, see, He's not only able to keep us from stumbling, but He's able to present us faultless before His throne. You see, He ensures that He keeps us from stumbling, that we don't fall away. He's going to protect His children. He's going to watch over us, beloved. If we do go the wrong way, if we do stumble, you know what? Our Father loves us enough that He'll discipline us and so that when we don't go astray, He will bring us back. That's His love for us. But what He wants to remind us of is that not just will He protect us, beloved, praise God, He's going to preserve us. He has promised this. He's going to present us before Him faultless. One day, we're going to be over there on the other side. Everything you read in the book of Revelation, we're going to realize one day. It's good to know the end of the story, amen? It's good to know what God has promised us. Those who've gone before us, they behold Him now in this way. One day, we will too. He's given us His word, a promise of all He's going to do. Do you remember what Jesus said? Listen, I'm going away. And you know the way, He told the disciples. And of course, Thomas said, Lord, we don't have a clue where You're going. What are You talking about? What are You doing? And He told him, what? Behold, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come and receive you unto Myself. Jesus Himself is going to come and take us away, and we should be living and looking forward to that day. And what a day that will be. Our God will do everything that He says here in His word. We will see Him. He will keep us and present us faultless before His throne. Now, you don't need to ask my bride. I got plenty of faults. I know them, and I'm sure I could ask your spouse, your bride, about your faults. But praise God, when we get over there, we won't have any faults, beloved. We won't have any faults. There won't be any flaws in any one of us. Praise the Lord. That's because we're going to get glorified bodies. The work of sanctification will be complete. It's a process right now. We're going through it. Positionally, we are already there because Christ is there and our identity is in Him. But we are going to be perfectly and permanently glorified one day. And praise God, there won't be any more to work on getting us fit for heaven. Praise the Lord. That day is coming. And we look forward to that. The redeemed, listen, will have nothing to blemish us while we're there. Why? I'll be clothed. You'll be clothed. Not in any righteousness we've got. We'll have white linen garments. Clean garments is the picture that the book of Revelation has for us. It's a picture. It's a reminder that we will be pure there, made pure not by anything we've done, but all by the precious blood of Christ. That's what Paul reminded us over in Corinthians, right? that he who knew no sin became sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God. Aren't you grateful tonight? Listen, yes, there's an exchange that has taken place. God invites you and invites me to come as empty-handed beggars and say, I got nothing. You've got everything. All I can offer is my unrighteousness, my filthy rags. That's even my best, Isaiah would say. And what Jesus says is, listen, I've paid the penalty for all that. Let me clothe you. Let put on my garb, put it on you. And his garb is pristine, white, pure righteousness. That's how God sees us tonight. He sees us through the blood of Christ, and we need to live like that, mindful of that, grateful for what Christ has done for us. You remember, the righteous are bold as a lion. When you know that your righteousness isn't something you've done, but it's all that Christ has completed, then, beloved, you go boldly. Listen, the enemy can't bring any accusation against us because we're in Christ. Oh, he might try to throw some mud. He's really good at that. He did that frequently with Job, with the Joshua and Zechariah, the prophecy over there. But beloved, praise the Lord that when he accuses us, yeah, we have an intercessor on the other side. And he can say, you know what? They are guilty, but I've already paid the penalty. So there's no charge against them. That's what we know. We will be faultless before the throne. Praise the Lord. We stand before him and we will behold him. Though it's fascinating to me, we will present him and we will be before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, beloved, not too many of y'all have shouted and said amen tonight, and that worries me, all right? All right? Because we're going to get over there and I'll tell you, we'll be singing and shouting for joy. Why are we waiting? We should be rejoicing now to know, beloved, you and I look in the mirror and we see our faults. We see where we fall short of the glory of God. But we need to see ourselves in the mirror of God's word and what the promise is here, the righteousness that Jesus clothes us in and our position in him. And we should be rejoicing in that, celebrating that. I mean, it should be every reason to be, you know, hooping it up a little better than Ric Flair, you know, two hand claps and a woo, right? Why? Because we will stand before him in his presence, the presence of his glory. Listen, that glorious presence, as I said this morning, that glorious presence is so powerful. It was the pillar that led God's people through the wilderness. It's that glorious presence that filled the tabernacle and filled the temple. It's that glorious presence that illumines all of heaven. There's no need for a sun there because God's glory illuminates all of heaven. It's that glorious presence that we'll behold and we will sing and we will shout for joy. Why? Because we'll be there forever, never ever to see a sunset or a sunrise. It will just be all time with God. Now, this is just what God has done. This is his promise to us that the work that he has begun, he is able to do it. He has the power to do it, and he is faithful to do it. And there's a reason for us to rejoice. But he goes on and he says, listen, understand and sing about who he is and remember God's person. Remember this, that our God is the sovereign God. He is in control. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. You see, God has all the power to do everything he's promised, and he is the only God and the only Savior, the only one who is wise. He is the sovereign, supreme, transcendent one. And he not only is my God, praise God tonight, he's our Father. We relate to him in a unique way now. He is the one who reigns. He is the one who rules. And because he is sovereign, beloved, he has all the authority to do what he wants to do, all the power to do what he wants to do, all the wisdom to make it happen. And what that means is, listen, his plans, his purposes, you and I may not understand at times. We don't always understand why God is allowing something to happen in my life here on earth. But this I know, his ways are so much higher. His thoughts are so much higher, the book of Isaiah tells me. And beloved, the assurance that all of his ways, all of his knowledge, everything is working together to assure his glory, my good, your good, so I can entrust my life to him. So sometimes when you're going there and you're wondering what's happening, God, how are you going to get this work done? I choose to believe you're able. I choose to believe what your word tells me. Lord, it's not, you know, why is this happening? What are you trying to teach me in this moment? What are you doing right now in my life to prepare me for your throne? He is the sovereign one, the one in control. He's the Savior. He's the one who has saved us. Praise the Lord. Have you ever read Ephesians chapter 1? Focused on the work of the Trinity that brings about our redemption. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Predestined, elected. What does all that mean? Well, I can't wait till we get to that on Sunday morning and walking through our theology lessons. But the Father has known before the foundation of the world what was going to happen. That just assures me, you know what? He's had a plan from the very beginning. That's good to know because he's going to see it through all the way to the end. The Son has redeemed us. He has loved us and been the demonstration of God's love toward us and that he gave his life for us. And then Paul would remind us that the Spirit works as well. He's the earnest. He's the down payment that assures you and assures me of our salvation. So we want to see the evidence of that work in us, of the Trinity, God's plan coming to fruition, our walking by faith, looking and trusting in our Savior Jesus who gave his life for us, at the Spirit working in our lives, securing us, sealing us. I love when I share the gospel with little ones in my office. I remind them, God is holy and we're like the sinners. We're not like even the first people, Adam and Eve and the mommies and the daddies and the little children. They're all sinners, but God is unique and different. And what separates us is sin. It puts a wall between us. And we can't climb over that wall. Even the mommies and the daddies can't help the little ones get to God. But we need someone to remove that wall. And that's what we are celebrating tonight. Jesus took that away. And when he did this for you and me, he removed the barrier so that anyone and everyone can come to God. And then I like to tell those children, now watch what happens. When Jesus saves us, the Father puts us in the palm of his hand and the Spirit of God seals us. And then I always like to tell those little children, try to pull out the little child, the little pinky out of my hand. And they reach their hand in there and they try and they try and they try. And they're earnest in trying. And they say, I can't do that. Your hands are too strong. And I remind them, yeah, but you know what? God's hands are so much stronger. No one can pluck us out, y'all. We are always his, safe and secure. And we are going to be, the work of the Spirit seals us until that day of redemption. The all-wise God has a plan, has a purpose. Now, beloved, listen, that means you and I are navigating today. When we wake up in the morning, God has a wise plan for your life, a plan just for you. Listen, that means you and I can navigate each day looking to him, asking for his Spirit to lead us, to guide us and direct us. Listen, this truth will direct our steps as we go and contend for the faith and bring this truth to other people. Being confident of what God has spoken, being confident of his plans that he is working out. And the things that happen in my life are all part of his plan. Someone has said, you know, when you look at a tapestry and you look at the backside of it, there's all kinds of colors and threads that are woven, and it looks like there's no rhyme or reason to it. And then you turn that rug over and you look at it, and there's always a majestic, beautiful picture. That's what God is doing in your life and my life. His wise plans. The experiences we go through are his opportunities for you and me, oftentimes to bear witness to someone and contend for the faith and bear witness of the faith. Sometimes I have to remind those that are in the hospital, listen, I hate to tell you this, this is your mission trip. God has allowed this right now for a season in your life for you to bear witness that his strength is perfected in weakness, to bear witness of his grace that is sufficient in this moment as this thorn is in your flesh, to be a witness there, frankly, to some of those doctors and nurses who may not even believe in him, and yet they work on his masterful creations day in, day out, and to know that there is a God who made us, and praise God, there's one who can remake us. This is what we need to realize as we go forward. There is a wise God. I can praise him. He has a plan for my life, and I can lift him up and glorify him, and that's what we should do. Be glory and majesty. This is just, listen, did you read the psalm this morning? I hope y'all had a little spell in Sunday school class, because David's song starts out with, y'all, raise the roof. Raise the roof. There's no God like our God who saves us. There's no God like our God. Let us exalt his name together. Let us magnify his name. Let's make a big deal about Jesus and what he's done for us. That's what the church, God's people, should be doing. Glorify him. Magnify him. Let glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. Amen. It's all his. We praise him for his majestic name. Hey, y'all, there's no God greater than our God. We should live like that. You studied, you heard the attributes last week, the great attributes, the good attributes for today. That's our God. Let's represent him well as we contend for the faith. Let's live our life a song of thanksgiving, a song of praise, a song of recognition. There's no God like our God. He reigns and he rules. Let's praise him for that, his dominion, his reign, his rule. It is not only for now, it is forever and ever. He is the one who possesses all authority or all power at all times. No one is ever going to kick him off his throne. You can read about that in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. There was this little imp who thought for a moment he could get God off his throne. Well, that didn't last long, right? God said, that's not going to happen. God is the all-powerful one. And so we praise him for now and forever. Why do we contend for the faith? Listen, beloved, that's not why we're not going to be AWOL. God drew our boundaries for now. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to be found faithful right now, together. We lock arms and we contend for the faith, confident in the one we have believed in, going forth and bearing witness, telling the truth, even when they don't want to hear it, in love. Be sweet, please. Amen. Tell them the truth. The world needs to hear it. They desperately need to hear the truth. When I believe God's word, when I'm confident Jesus has died, shed his blood for my sins, paid the penalty, and I have repented and placed my faith in him. When I know that for a certainty, beloved, I can wake up and I can walk forward in faith. My salvation is not on anything I've done. It's all in what he did at Calvary. We're going to celebrate that in a couple weeks. Good Friday and Easter. The death, the burial, and praise God, the resurrection. Beloved, it's a reminder for us. God leads us in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you live and walk with the Lord as your shepherd each day, walking with him, knowing and experiencing his goodness, experiencing his mercy, knowing that one day you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, you sing this song. Beloved, you need to. You know why? This is the book of Jude. It's the last. What's fascinating to me is the song right here, this doxology, is because when you flip over just a couple pages, you know what I find over in the book of Revelation? They're singing the same song. They're singing the same themes over in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. The great songs that are sung there in heaven, celebrating who God is, celebrating what Christ has done, celebrating that he is worthy of our praise. Let's practice singing it now. And let's go forward confident, declaring to a world what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for them. Let's pray tonight. God, help us today. Tonight, Father, to be inspired by your word and what Jude has reminded us tonight. We have a reason to sing. We have a reason to praise you. We have a reason to open our mouths and speak to a world around us, Lord. They are looking for answers, God, trying to make sense of this world. Father, may we be found faithful, contending for the faith, presenting to them your truth. Lord, we are your ambassadors. We represent you. God, this week, Lord, I pray you'd put some unction in us, Lord, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has saved us. To be mindful, Lord, as we share this truth, that there are those, Lord, that you have intentionally put in our paths so that we might declare to them the truth and share with them the truth so that they can be saved. So, God, help us to be found faithful doing precisely that. Father, we thank you. This song reminds me. Assures me that the song that I sing here on earth, walking with you, Lord, one day we're going to sing around your throne. And what a day that will be. Lord, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. And we thank you that you are the one who has made all of this possible. Go with us, we pray, this week. May we faithfully represent you to a world around us, we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen.